Let's begin our morning service by singing hymn 199. 199. Good morning, everyone. Did everyone smell the smoke yesterday? Wasn't that wild? It made me think of this verse. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. We know why there was smoke yesterday, because there was fires, but this is a different kind of smoke with the Lord's descending and coming there. So that's kind of a much cooler smoke smell in the air than we had yesterday. Greetings. Any greetings from anyone? Greetings from Adina. Thank you. Welcome.
Greetings from Mark Meister.
Oh, Mark Meister. When did you speak to him last? Oh, very nice. Oh, that's awesome. Into his hotel? Or the hospital? Oh, okay. So now he's in the hotel this week. On Friday, okay. I texted with him. Yeah, and so what did he tell you? Very fatigued, that's what he said to me. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we should continue to pray for him and Becky. And Becky is with him there, so it's good. He has a great support there. But still an uphill climb, so we continue to pray for them. And Brother Mike Smith's back is still not feeling well, so we'll pray for him as well. This afternoon, after lunch, we'll have a presentation by the Toths regarding their trip to North Carolina, so we look forward to that. Wednesday is Bible study in person and on Zoom, continuing the topic of Be Holy. Our coat drive has begun. I don't know if anyone has come in today. One has come in today. We have a one over there saying. So that'll continue through December each Sunday. If you have coats only, please bring them in, and encourage anyone else who wants to make a donation. Friday, November 23rd, is our Friendsgiving, and this is not an event for just outreach. This is for our church, so we encourage all to attend, to make a meal, and just to gather together to enjoy one another's company as we spend a meal together, other than a lunch on Sunday. So it's a nice event. Also, if you have any fall decorations, you can bring them for that. That would be nice to have some little decorations. Not Halloween, fall. Just very clear. Bring them some sooner than later. Yes, exactly. Friday the 23rd. Yes. I said Saturday the 20th. Well, no, I didn't. So, yes, my fault. Saturday the 20th. Thank you. Yeah, I did write Friday here. I don't know why I did, but yes, Saturday the 23rd. Thank you for the correction. And then on November 24th, we have communion in the afternoon here. And then December 1st, we have a members meeting in the afternoon as well. And I think that's all the scheduled events that we have coming up. Our quarterly mission focus is Argentina. And is there anything else to announce? If not, pray for Brother Frank as he would have the service. Oh, I have the little flyer for the Friendsgiving here. If anyone wants a copy, we can make a copy. And together our hearts and our thoughts, let's sing from hymn 341. Let's sing all three verses.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for bringing us together into your house of worship and to fellowship with one another and to hear from your word and to understand the messages that you would give us and to apply them to our lives. And Lord, we ask that your presence would be felt here as it was already, and we would thank you for that. And we would want to honor you in how we live our lives and those things that we do and those things that we don't do. Lord, we just want to thank you again for being such a loving and such a personal God that wants to live within us and to send your Holy Spirit to live within us, that it would direct us and guide us and teach us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we just want to honor you and praise you in all that we say and do. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 25 this morning. But before we get into that, actually, I didn't look at this week's Bible class lesson, but I want to begin with a similar thing, because that even Before Israel became a nation, there were prophecies that a Messiah would come and save the people and the nation. And even in the Garden of Eden, when God said in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and I will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We could even say that this is a prophecy that a Messiah will come, someone that will because of the way that Satan has misrepresented God, and the way Satan has caused many to sin by the trickery that he does. But here God is saying that someone will come and shall bruise his head, that he came to do that. And in Genesis 22:18, it also said, "And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Here Abraham was promised that through his descendants one would come that would bring blessings to the nation of Israel and to all nations after that. And so we can see this as Jesus fulfilling that prophecy, that he was the one that would come, and he would preach to all that only through him salvation could come. And the Jewish nation was waiting for this Messiah to come and bring this peace through to their nation. And so you would think that with many prophecies that were prophesied of this Messiah coming and Jesus coming, that those here that who knew that would be glad to accept him, and he would readily accept him. But we see that that wasn't the case. That wasn't always the case. There were those that did accept him, but there were also those that spoke against him. And in some, he's called a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of sinners. So here, they instead of welcoming him, that they're finding fault with this person, that they're thinking that this can't be the Messiah, because we're, as a nation of Jewish people, they were kind of a closed nation. They weren't accepting that this message would go out to everyone, and they weren't accepting that Jesus came, and he even said that, if someone is sick, or who needs the physician? Those people that are sick. And so it is that those who are sinners, and we are all sinners, have a need of Jesus Christ. And he was accused of blasphemy, of making himself equal with God, even though he was equal with God. He came to show the way and to show the many miracles and things, but people were not ready to hear that. They were thinking that why is he talking so about himself, and but he came really to honor the Father, some people didn't see it that way. And he was even accused of forgiving sin. In the one case, when he healed the person, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And they were upset with him, and they said, "How can this man say that sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins," not knowing that that he was deity. He was here to show that, and to know that the forgiveness of sins would come, and it would come through him. But they didn't really see it that way. They only saw this in one way, and that he was saying that he had forgiven the sins, but really it was they didn't understand really who God was, who Jesus was, and who God was. And also, when Jesus was casting out devils, some accused him of using the power of the devil to cast out devils. And so, even when he did good things, and when he brought this wellness to people that other people didn't accept it that way, that they saw other ways around that or saw it in a different light. And he was accused of saying that he would come and destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. And they were looking at that as the earthly temple saying that how could he destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days? It took like 46 years to build that temple. And he's talking about building the temple again in 3 days. But he wasn't talking about the temple that was there to worship in. He was talking about the temple of his own body. That knowing that he would be crucified and knowing that he would rise again on the third day, and he would do that. So he was, they misunderstood the message that he was really coming to say. And also even saying that we should love our enemies, that was something that a lot of people couldn't understand, that they were thinking that, well, loving is what you do to your family, or you do to your friends, or you do to those who agree with you. But loving an enemy was something that didn't really make sense to a lot of people in their minds, that enemies are ones that you should fight against. And even they would go back and say, well, God told us to drive out these people out of the land, and they are our enemies. But God wanted those people out of the land because he didn't want the nation of Israel to be influenced by those people, to be influenced by their idol worship and the things that they did over there. But they didn't really have a good understanding of the message God was coming to bring. And there were certain, it seemed to be, that a lot of people had their own ideas and misconceptions of what would peace that Jesus would bring, or even the message that Jesus would bring, they imagined it in a certain way, and going outside of the way that they imagined it was foreign to them, and they didn't want to consider that. And it wasn't through earthly means or kingdoms that Jesus would bring peace, but it was through transformed hearts and minds, and only if those hearts and minds and that body could be cleansed from sin, that only his sacrifice could bring. Only his sacrifice would be the one that would cleanse our, that was able to forgive our sins and have cleansed hearts and minds. And only by peace in him, only peace could come through Jesus Christ, and knowing that what he would do and the sacrifice that he would give for us, that peace could come. And so we see that even though they were looking forward to a Messiah to come, when he came, and he did come as a man, and maybe that even coming as a baby was something that people didn't really understand, that maybe they thought that this Messiah would come and they would see him when he's already an adult, or not sure how they imagined it in their mind, but it seemed to be different and didn't seem to match what they thought this coming of the Messiah would be. And only by faith in Him can really peace come within our hearts, and to have Him transform our hearts and minds by faith and trust in Him. So let me begin reading in Matthew 25. I'm going to read 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided His sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And this is something that, this is a message that that Jesus gave, and He gave directly to the people. And he spoke a lot of things in parables, and parables so that they could understand what's happening in the parable and apply it to their lives spiritually. And many times he spoke in parables, knowing that they should receive the spiritual part of that, and to recognize the physical things that were happening in the parable, and to recognize how it would apply spiritually to our own lives. And here, this is a message of really when He comes again, not when He would do this here on earth when He was here at that time, but when He comes again, the things that would happen, and this is the teaching of what He was saying would happen when He comes again to this earth. And this is a judgment and separation of those who will go to heaven and those who will go to hell. And I think this is difficult, and some people have a difficulty even in thinking that how can a God who is a loving God, how could He possibly send anyone to an eternity of punishment in hell? How would that didn't agree with a God being a loving God in their minds? And here it's one of those, another misconception that that people have about what He's trying to say here, and why He is saying it here. And here He is talking about very deep things that, and it's more, even more than a life and death situation. It's an eternal destination situation that What is happening here is that some people would listen to him and to go into this kingdom of heaven that he has prepared for them, but some people would not listen, and then there would be a punishment for that. And I think that's an idea that a lot of people couldn't imagine how all that would be or how all that would happen. And we're thinking, well, how does a loving God do that? How does he send people to hell? And I think a lot of people even today have a lot of trouble with that, saying that God is going to send some people to hell. And but we really see in this that Jesus has come so that we don't have to be among those that go into hell, but he has come to make a way so that even though we are sinners, that we can be forgiven of sins, that our sins can be forgiven. And the only way that that could happen is that Christ himself would take the punishment for my sin upon himself, and so that a sin could be forgiven. And that's the only way that sin could really be forgiven. If Jesus didn't come and do that, then we would all have to suffer the punishment of sin, and that we would all spend eternity in hell. But he came to take that upon himself and to suffer and to die, not for what he has done, but for what I have done, so that he would... That's really showing a great deal of love, and a great deal of love that most people can't even fathom of how great a love it is that he would come and do that. And but if we look at there are many places where it talks about him, that God is a loving God, and he loves everyone, and that he has provided a way, though, that this can be avoided, that we wouldn't have to be among those that would spend an eternity in hell. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So it's not God's desire to have this punishment, but this is a punishment, and it's really the punishment that we would deserve if we reject the way that God has made this way of salvation, that this way of salvation would come only through Jesus Christ. And God is providing that way, and he is desiring that people would, that all should come to repentance, it says. Yeah. That in Peter it says there that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would want everyone to take advantage of what this plan of salvation, his plan of salvation, which God had before the world began, even, that God knew that these things would happen, and God would want everyone to come unto him, and would allow everyone to come unto him. And then, but there are some that don't really understand that it's God's love, that there even is a plan of salvation, that we could come unto him and to have our hearts and minds changed. And in Titus 2:11 it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men." And here it's saying it's really open to everyone. And a lot of times the Jewish people thought that because the God had blessed Israel, the nation of Israel, that they were the ones who would be who would be saved, and all the other nations wouldn't, or they might not have even thought about all of the other nations, what would happen to them. But here it says that God offers this grace to all. It's something that God would want, could, doesn't matter of who you are or what nations you are or what heritage you are, that God is offering this salvation to everyone. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 it said, God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't pick and choose and say, well, this one I'm going to send to hell, the other one I'm going to send to heaven. But he's saying he's going to provide a way that all can come unto and all can take advantage of this by believing in Jesus and believing in that sacrifice that he has done for us, and our hearts can be changed and our minds can be changed. And even though we may have misconceptions of things, how things would go, God is really trying to make it clear, especially in these verses, that salvation is here for all. And God has proved that even to those Jewish people who thought it was not good for a Jewish person to go into the home of a non-Jew. And we see that in where the Apostle Peter, when he had to be taught by that and in a dream, and God was showing him in a dream that really this plan of salvation was to all people, and it could only happen through that Jesus would take the punishment for my sin, and he would pay the price for that, and having faith in him that his sacrifice was the one that was needed to be able for me to see that I am really a sinner and I need to repent and come unto God, and that God has eternity in heaven with him, a plan for those who would come in repentance and recognize that Jesus has paid that price. And so when a person says, how can God send someone to hell, it's not really that God is taking that person and driving them to there and leaving them there. It's God has made a way, and God has this plan, and that plan caused his son to die a painful death and to suffer. And to realize that if it took that kind of a thing to and God would have his son do that, knowing that is what has happened, and that was really the plan all along, that we would recognize that and that we would come unto God and we would confess our sins and we would repent of our sins and we would know that this is the only way of salvation, and that we would accept him and accept his cleansing and accept his forgiveness into our hearts. And when we look at the choices of eternity in heaven with God and eternity of torment and everlasting fire, which it would seem that no one would want to choose that. No one would want to choose an eternity of punishment. But why doesn't everyone then come and choose the other way? Choose the way that God has made of salvation. To choose that. That Jesus would be the one who would pay for the sins. And so it should be, it's a very stark difference there of sowing eternity with God or an eternity with hell. And even if you note in verse 41 of Matthew 25, it said that everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, that the devil who rebelled against God and who went and to those that would follow him in doing that, God had prepared this punishment for them. And but it's really the same punishment that we would go through if we don't accept the way that God has, the path to salvation that God has made to us. And we should thank God for being so loving a God that he would sacrifice his own son and to make a way that we could have this opportunity to have changed lives and to live according to his word and according to his way, and then to have an eternity with him in heaven. And when we don't, and for those who don't follow God and don't accept Jesus into their lives, then really they're making this huge mistake, this huge error, and the probably the magnitude of it most people can't comprehend, and they think, because they can't imagine that, well, God wouldn't do that, or God, Jesus died for everyone, so everyone should be saved. But that's not true. If we reject what God has given, then we would get the same punishment that the devil and his angels would get. And I think we should really look at what Jesus is saying in these verses here, that there's going to become a time of where we would all be judged, that those that are... our lives would be judged, and God will bring before us all those things that we ever did in our lives, and those sins that we committed, and those mistakes that we made, and those times that we went against God, and he would say, but I made a way for you to come unto me and to have all of that forgiven, and to live lives that are acceptable in his sight, and to know that this is such a blessing that God has prepared for us. But we have to believe him. We have to know that this is the only way. It's not something we can do of ourselves. It's not something by works of good that we can do this. It's something that when we would come unto Christ in humility and to want to thank him for providing this way, providing a way that we could come unto them and not make this huge error that you, of a proportion that we can't even imagine to reject God. And some people don't think, well, I'm not really rejecting him. It's just that I'm not convinced, or I don't think God would do it that way. But really that is rejecting God, or rejecting the way that the only way that God has come unto us. And we should consider that that would be such a severe punishment, and that coming unto God is an amazing blessing that God would give unto us. And but I don't think most people see it that way. And I was thinking, how would you get people to really believe if you read them this chapter or these verses? How would you get them to believe that this is such a serious thing that Christ has come? And I think a lot of people spend more time of deciding what they're having for breakfast and whether they should come and accept God. And I think that's really not a good thing. And how do we make it clear to someone that this is what God has, what Jesus has presented, what he has told is the truth, and what it will happen, and how do we make it clear to someone that this is really such a more than a life and death decision, that it's an eternal decision that things would make. And I think in one of the things to consider is that here he talks to those who would accept the decision and live lives that are according to God's will and to would be pleasing in his sight. And we can see that he talks about those that would feed the hungry and would give water to the thirsty and to those that are sick they would visit them, and they would come unto the prisoners and present the gospel to them, and so they would be fed, and that the people said, well, I don't remember doing that to you. I didn't even live at a time when you were here on this earth. But God said, if you did it to one of the least of his followers, it's like you did it unto him. And I think it also is important that we consider that if we look at what God has prepared in the plan of salvation and the life that he wants to give unto us, and he wants also to have his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to teach us and to guide us and to bring us on the correct way. And what God has really provided is something so amazing that we really can't imagine the magnificence of it all. And I was just thinking, are there people who haven't heard this kind of message yet, that people who need to come unto God and to need this salvation, did everyone hear that yet, or are there parts of the world where that is, where people who have believed that have been put in jail or put in prison or have been persecuted? And I think we should pray for those people. We should pray for those. And we really should, because this morning we were talking about people who are rejected. And do we really pray for people? And do we know what other people are going through? Do we know that some people feel a rejection, or some people are rejected by others and they're going through that? And do we really try to find that out if that's happening in someone's life, and try to help that person out, and to try to come into that person and in a loving way to or maybe even the ways that I have been rejected, and look at those and to try to understand what these other people are going through, to pray for them and to talk to them and to bring them unto a God who really is a loving God and who has made a way of salvation. And I think sometimes we don't know people as well to try to ask them about that is something that is happening in your life that is causing you pain or trouble or frustration. And I think that's something that I have to think about too. Do I know people that well, or do people come up to me and ask me, how are you doing? And you say, fine, and everyone's fine and everything's fine. But really to understand what people are going through and the struggles that they have, and to share them and to pray with them, that's something I think that I could use lessons on how to do those kind of things. But I'm really thankful that God has made a way of salvation, that it doesn't have to be that a person would go through torment in hell and to have that to be eternal. And I think if we really consider the magnitude of that of either spending eternity in hell with the devil and his angels, or spend eternity in heaven with God. So I think I'm glad he had this sermon there to show us the way, and we should all be thankful for him and the ways that he has provided. May the Lord bless his word.
Lunch is a little delayed, so you might listen to me talk a little longer. Whenever I read this text about separating the sheep from the goats, Jesus is specifically saying what you do matters. And he's doesn't talk about faith, doesn't talk about grace. It says, you fed, you gave, you visited. It's the things you did. Now, clearly, we know Scripture teaches otherwise, and it's not that it's not what you do. Clearly, Ephesians talks about by faith you are saved through grace, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So it's a faith in the grace of God that saves us. And then James talks about the fact that faith without works is dead. So it's a combination. It's what we do and what we believe in our hearts. And if we believe it in our hearts, then it will be what we do. It's not that what we do, these works save us. It is these works are because of who we have become in Christ Jesus. And so I think it's fair for us to look at how we serve others, how we treat others, how we live our lives. Because often we live our lives far too selfishly, speaking for myself, and we live not thinking of eternity. And not seeing our neighbor as one who is going to be lost for eternity if they don't know Christ. There is an eternal damnation, and there is life eternal. Clearly Jesus taught it. And clearly both are destinations. And clearly we are called to live lives that are representative of Jesus' love for them. Jesus loved enough to die, to give himself completely, to accept the punishment for their sin, to be the propitiation for sin, that all could be redeemed. And it's so important that we have that heart too, that we see the needs of others. Physically, yes, but that's just a way to get to their spiritual need, a way to get to their understanding of who God is, as Savior, as Lord, as Redeemer, as the one who loves them beyond measure and who wants them to know Him. May we have eyes that see those who don't know Him and want them to know Him. Not that we can, you know, be wordy and explain it good enough, but it's our love that we show them. It's sharing the truth of the gospel. It's, and sometimes, the fear of that eternal damnation. We know in each of us it was different things. But we have to care enough to even go out and do that, to see them as those who need the Lord, because they do. They all need the Lord. And with that, let's arise for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message this morning, the message of rejection and acceptance, the message of how we are called to serve others, to love others, to be your hands and feet, to see the needs around us, and most importantly, to see the needs of life eternity. Lord, no one comes before you unless Jesus is their intercessor. And Lord, if we think that there's other ways, if we think that maybe, you know, God will forgive someone because they don't know or they have been not so bad, Lord, clearly you've taught it is only through you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, is what you taught us. And so we are called to love and lead others into the truth of that, and to understand that there is eternal consequences because of it. That apart from you, they will not live and they will be punished eternally. That weight is so great. So give us the zeal, the desire, the love for others to not have them have to deal with that, have to go through that. May we have a heart like you had, where you loved others enough to lay down your life, that they might know you, that they might know the Father, and then they may come to the truth and have the joy and peace and love for eternity. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this idea, this thought, this truth. And may we not just leave it in this place. May we take it with us and share it with others in our daily walk, to believe it fully and then to believe it to the point that we live it out and act it out and respond accordingly. We pray a blessing on the food that is being prepared. We pray a blessing on the hands that prepared it. We thank you so much for your great provision in all aspects of our life. We pray for our brother Mark and sister Becky that you watch over them. Pray for brother Mike Smith. We pray for those that are persecuted and suffering because of your name's sake, that have this truth on their lips and because of it suffer greatly. We pray for your strength and upholding in their lives, the Spirit to move within them and to give them zeal and boldness despite physical persecution and physical pain that would become because of it. We thank you for your grace and mercy that can uplift us even in great times of need. And thank you for your Spirit's presence with us when we are not strong of ourselves. And we just give you grace, give you praise, honor, and glory, and thank you for your grace and lift your name on high because you are worthy of all these things that we have and have provided for us in every aspect. And we honor you, praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.